Representative McGinnis, thanks for spending a little time with us in studio this morning, by the way. So that's an extra brownie point rather than phoning this thing in like some of the others do.
You're not too far away. Why not? But somebody had a better time than I did last night. Wow, from what y'all were talking about.
Well, that's what DJ Slot does. I mean, they said, we're going to give the Hot Talk Morning Show a Monday night promotion to see if we can't bring people into a local establishment. And we pack out the joint, and there's lines out the door on a Monday night.
Phenomenal.
I mean, that's just the way we do it here with Joe and Bro Music Bingo. Mondays from 6 to 8 at Crooked Hammock Brewery, Barefoot Landing, North Myrtle Beach. All right, last time.
Wait, where was that again?
I mean, come on. That's,
sorry.
That's the promotional side of these things. I mean, the news anchors, they read on the teleprompter, and that's pretty much it. Oh, rapper, you haven't done that in a while, have you?
Not in a while. 10 years. Golly. 10 years? 9 years this month. 9 years February.
9 years February.
Yeah. All right. Since I last read a teleprompter.
And as we talked with you just a moment ago, brief catch up, that you'll literally, from here, you'll jump out of the studio, you'll get some breakfast, then it's over to the State House in Columbia. Session continues. Where are we at right now? Give us, like, the blueprint as to what's going to come up here in the next week.
So we're going to be getting the budget back in a couple weeks. That'll be probably toward the beginning of May. That's the big thing we do in the House every year. It's our constitutional responsibility for the House to come up with a budget to send it to the Senate, who in turn shreds the budget and creates their own, then sends it back to us, and then there's a lot of bickering over it, and then we'll kind of vote it all out and get it all sealed up and sent to the governor and be signed into law sometime in June. That's if everything goes according to plan, and hopefully it does.
All right. The budget aside, there's been a lot of talk of what some are calling historic tax cuts that are coming out of the General Assembly. Terms and conditions apply, though, when it comes to who will be benefiting from the tax cut. Obviously, the idea, from what we're hearing, is we would like to have no state income tax eventually here in South Carolina. But how do we get there? And it looks like in terms of how the sausage is being made, some people will get some relief, some won't. Some might be paying more in income taxes. So can you lay that scenario out for us?
So, yeah, to get to zero from where we are right now, which is around hovered around 6%, getting it down to around 5%, a little over 5%, and incrementally bring it down each year, we're having to kind of flatten that tax a little bit. Listen, we're talking about roads. I listened to y'all coming in today. We need a lot of roads. We need a lot of money to pay for those roads. So we can't throw out the baby with the bathwash just yet. We have to make sure we can get to where we need to be and bring the tax rate down at the same time. I've always been a proponent of a flatter tax, not necessarily a truly 100% no conditions flat, but flat. And we don't have a flat tax in South Carolina. In fact, I think the number is around 42% of eligible taxpayers are not paying income tax in South Carolina. Well, we need to get I think everybody should chip in what they can. Chip in what you can toward it. You know, obviously, what you can, you don't want to go too high. And we don't want people to pay too high. We want to bring this down to zero. But we bring it down to zero by start flattening out some of the exemptions, making sure that everybody's chipping in their fair share.
We're talking with State Representative Tim McGinnis. Now, Tim, you mentioned the roads, the conditions. And we know that you have to have tax money to improve the roads. And now we know this morning it's a big issue for our listeners. What are you doing or can be done to suspend the gas tax? And if we should, do you think it's a good idea?
I don't think it's a horrible idea. I think if the State Budget and Control Board can give us a response back, and to this point, I don't know that I've heard one yet, telling us how it would affect us moving forward, a suspension or at least a decrease, I would be in favor of, but I know the efforts to get those moved have been shot down relatively quickly.
When we look at the roads, Highway 31, is there going to be an exit ramp that goes to your Carolina Forest area?
Eventually, Revolutionary War Drive. It was originally it was released to happen about 4 or 5 years ago. The cost analysis on it was all done before the pandemic. What happened during the pandemic? Everything went up. So where they had enough money to do it in 2019, 2020 money became a lot different. And, of course, we haven't seen a whole lot of prices come down, and it's still up there. But from what I understand, they're going to be ready to start moving forward here within the next couple of years to get that completed. Long overdue. Senator Greg Hembree and I did lobby to get some money for that project, but it was kind of a drop in the bucket compared to what they need. So but I hear from the county now that we have the pennies passed. We're on the path.
So that'll be the interchange between the Grissom Parkway, International Drive, Highway 501, right?
Correct.
Between there is where
that
Correct. Exit ramp will
eventually
Almost
right in
be.
The middle of Carolina yeah. Forest Boulevard.
Okay. One other note, just in terms of roads. In your estimation, you know, obviously we could put all the money in the world towards it, mm-hmm. but if we don't have the construction workers, if we don't have the permitting, if we're mm-hmm. unable to win out litigation when it comes to the different lawsuits that are filed against us by environmental groups,
yeah.
I mean, this ties up the works, mm-hmm. doesn't it, in mm-hmm. how we build these roads as quickly as possible. Do we get any relief through some of these bills that are being discussed with the DOT modernization?
The modernization bill, I think, is going to bring a lot of that regulatory relief and open up the path to getting things done a little bit more efficiently. We do have a new, relatively new director of DOT. He was director of public works in Horry County before heading to the state to work for the department, and he's now the head of the department. He's a smart guy. I've had several conversations with him. You know, that's one of our biggest agencies, gets a lion's share of the budget every year, and it's an awful big machine to turn on a dime, but we need to start really thinking about the future because, as you all mentioned, millions of people have moved here since just the beginning of the century, and we have millions more coming. We need somebody made the comment that we didn't do well planning for it 10 years ago. We didn't. We didn't do well planning for it 20 years ago. 20 years ago was the sweet spot. Was it 20? Gosh, it's at 30 now. But going back to the late 90s when, Carolina Forest was planned, that should never have come out the way it did.
But how difficult would it be 20 years ago to make the case to the residents living here permanently that 20 years from now, this is the vision of what this area is going to look like, and we need to raise taxes or need to come up with
different... They got some things right 20 years ago. Yeah. Highway 31 was a great idea, as well as Highway 22. Thank goodness they did those. But, the problem is, and I've had this conversation with several people, you're looking at a county that really outside of a busy tourism season was relatively unpopulated year-round. And you had a group of leaders who were raised in this community, and you don't anticipate being, being Charlestoned, mm-hmm. if this is what you know. You don't see that. It's kind of hard to see what's coming. And I think this took a lot of people in a lot of parts of the South, the coastal South, by surprise when the exodus started happening. And now a lot of communities are having to catch up.
You're hearing the voice of State Representative Tim McGinnis, and he does represent us up in Columbia. So, Tim, when we talk about I-73, that's a road that's never happened, but we've been talking about for a long time. Mm-hmm. It seems like everyone points the finger at each other. The state says, oh, the local folks didn't do enough to make it happen. Locally, we say the state didn't help. And the feds like to point fingers at both of us. Mm-hmm. What can you do in the House in Columbia that would help make all of those parts come together to some sort of a movable plan to build I-73.
We're all doing it. I've mentioned this before, but and I think one of you guys mentioned about how we're on the ocean and how we, all the highways are built around the part where the fish don't live. Well, we have a big area that has really unique transportation needs, and until 2020, we were severely underrepresented in Columbia. We only had one member on Ways and Means. Now we have two from the Horry County delegation. We had fewer members of the delegation from Horry County. Now we have one more. In the next census, we might pick up one to two more. We need a bigger voice coming out of Horry County. We need more people up there that can actually, our voting block needs to become more powerful, and that's only going to do it by numbers. And our numbers are growing. And people are listening. People know. We had the speaker here. He came down for a fundraiser for somebody, and I said, I'm glad you all made the drive down. Tell me about that drive. I always try to point it out to them whenever I can that, we're severely in need of interstate transport here.
Hey, Representative McGinnis, obviously you're a restaurateur as well, a small business owner, and there's been some legislation passed over the last year or so that is aimed to help lower the cost when it comes to liability insurance and help provide some relief to people like yourself. There are also some other elements of that, different and extended training for your employees who sell alcohol. You extended that mandatory alcohol server training. Did we go far enough with that piece of legislation last year to really get that relief? Because when I talk to bar owners and restaurant owners, they're like, man, it's still limited in terms of our options, and we're still paying way more than we were, say, a year ago.
It wasn't, you know, a magic bullet. We're going to have to see how this plays out over time. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to have that extension for training pushed back to July. But the drafters of the bill were insistent to come up now, because until everybody is under this, then a lot of insurance companies won't start recognizing that we're doing it and let the rates follow, and as well as some of the other portions of the law. I don't think it went far enough. I don't think tort reform really will ever go far enough as long as we have a lot of sitting lawyer legislators who are making some of those rules. No offense to my fellow law or my law legislators out there listening right now. You know I love all of you individually. It's as a group that sometimes I get a little frustrated.
Well, on that note, you know, just to swing it into the judicial system, and obviously the way in which we pick judges has been a big hot topic, given the fact that we have a lot of lawyers who represent us over at the State House. Feels like there might be a conflict of interest there. How do we go about selecting our judges based on what you're hearing out that way?
Well, we've done some things to improve the perception around that. And, you know, perception is reality. That's something that I learned from this business, from media, and from, you know, and definitely from politics. Perception's reality. And we have to prove that we're doing everything we can to make the judicial selection process as fair and as equitable as possible, to where the scales are not just being tipped into the trial lawyer's hands. And we reformed JMSC. That's the group that screens all the attorneys who wish to become judges. We've reshaped that a little bit to give it a little less legislator, little more Joe. But at the end of the day, it still is legislators who are electing the judges. I don't know what the best way is. I don't know if it's putting it out to a general election, because, let's face it, when I lived in a state where we elected judges, a lot of times I was voting on which name sounded best, because you don't hear a lot from these people. You might see the signs out there, and it's all just going to be a matter of who gets the most signs out and who gets their name in front of people enough. So I don't know that that's the best way to do it, but I do know that we need to prove that we're doing as good as we can, and we need to hold our judges accountable when they're not when they're not doing the right thing.
So, Tim, outside of traffic and roads, that's what our listeners are harping on this morning, but normally our biggest complaint is just how much everything costs, especially the rising cost of energy. We've talked about how we have the privately owned utilities like Dominion Energy and Duke, and then we have utilities that are under the purview of the state, like Santee Cooper and our local cooperatives. Are you getting calls from constituents asking what you can do to help them lower their rates with these utilities that the state has some influence over?
In the middle of the winter, I was getting a few phone calls. Now that winter's eased off a little bit and we're not quite into summer, I haven't been receiving as many calls. Santee Cooper was in a unique, you know, and for your listeners, yeah, it's Santee Cooper's, it's a rare beast. I think there's only one other system in the country like it that's owned by the state. So Santee Cooper is owned by the state of South Carolina. They were tied up in that nuclear boondoggle about 10 years ago, where a lot of work was being done to build a new nuclear reactor, and it wasn't being reported well, and they were way behind schedule, and it was never going to get completed in a ballpark where we weren't spending billions and billions of dollars to get ourselves out of it. So Santee Cooper got caught up in that, got ordered by a judge to freeze rates for nearly 10 years, and that cap was lifted, and they needed to pay some bills. So it was kind of a perfect storm for this winter, no pun intended, when this came about. We are working on expanding energy as much as we can in South Carolina. We're entertaining just about anything that will stick to the wall for energy production. I think if we can get more energy generated here, it'll help keep our costs lower. And, you know, unfortunately, we still have to do those things that you have to do, turn off the lights when you leave the house, and, you know, watch your electric usage.
When you say more energy generated here, Can you elaborate what types of energy are we talking
Anything.
About?
Nuclear is the big one. There's a big push to get that V.C. Sumner site going again.
Mm-hmm.
They tried building that at a time when gas really had a – gas prices came way down, and that didn't help out the nuclear industry very much. And now we're in a different setting. We have new technology out there that makes nuclear more appetizing, I think, for people. And I think that's something we really need to look at. The other thing's natural gas, making sure that we have the lines that can come in here. I've heard recently that we do have a line that's about ready to open up here and give us a lot more. Why is that important? Because a lot of businesses look for it. They won't come here unless we have it,
mm-hmm.
or unless we can provide a lot of it. Previously, we had a really funny issue. It was just a small pipe, and we couldn't get enough gas going through that pipe to make it worthwhile or to really fit the need. And after some lawsuits, we're able to get a bigger pipe now. And I hear that bigger pipe, they're working to get that online real quick so we can get more natural gas here.
Yeah, that was January that the state Supreme Court basically pushed away the lawsuit that had mm-hmm. tied it up for the last four or so years. So
right.
that was already underway right from that ruling. Literally shovels hit ground like the day after.
Mm-hmm.
Before I let you go, real quick, obviously an election year, a lot going on politically, just in terms of the makeup of our state legislature, the governor's race, the attorney general's race. In terms of your time in the state house and moving forward, what have you enjoyed most about your time as an elected representative, and what are some things that you've learned along the way that will help carry you through another term?
Somebody told me when I first ran, building relationships is the most important thing you can do up there, and the relationships that I've built up there, I'm really proud of those. I've met people who, from different walks of life, I never thought I'd be friends with, and they're some of my best friends today. Members of our Horry County delegation are my brothers and sisters. I mean, they're really good people, and even both sides of the aisle. Whether you're an elected official or staff up there, it's been really great working with those people. And it's been cool getting legislation passed or taking on initiatives and seeing their results. And that's what keeps me going through the next time, is just to be able to keep pushing that ball forward. We're a relatively small state turning into a relatively big state, and to be here at this time and to be able to represent the great people of District 56, which is Carolina Forest, Barefoot Landing, and Windy Hill, where I hear you play bingo. It's been an honor.
Better watch out for Joe and Bro Music Bingo on Mondays. Representative McGinnis, safe travels out to Columbia. Thanks, as always, for being accessible and willing to stop by in studio to say hello.
Hey, thank you very much, guys. And real quick, if I could just put it out there, my cell phone number, 843-798-7440. If you need anything, give me a call, or if you want to tell me how badly I bungled something, please let me know. I love all feedback.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You should read our text line.
You say
then.
That now.
Yeah, read our text line on a minute-to-minute basis. 839-9950, the Hot Talk hotline and text line. All right, here's Leanne Graham with another look at our Hot Talk headlines.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, April 14th, and these are your Hot Talk news headlines. Without any discussion, the Atlantic Beach Town Council agreed to pay town manager Adrian Jones $10,000 severance and ended his employment. The only dissenting vote was cast by Councilman Edward Campbell, whose eligibility has been called into question after the owners of The Dollhouse filed suit last month claiming Campbell should be removed from office because he was not yet able to vote or run for office when he was elected in 2021 due to a 2009 felony conviction. Also on the original Atlantic Beach Town Council meeting agenda was a disciplinary censure of Mayor Pro Tem John David for allegations of misconduct, but that motion was stricken. The only item without resolution was the proposed ordinance to assess special taxes against what they call sexually oriented businesses, like The Dollhouse, which is the top taxpayer in all of Atlantic Beach. In the wake of Marion County's recent plans for a data center in their Highway 501 Industrial Park, Horry County leaders aren't taking any chances, meeting again this morning at 9 to discuss a proposed data center regulations ordinance that would govern zoning and infrastructure of data centers that could be proposed in Horry County in the near future. The Georgetown Sheriff's Department is asking for help from the public to identify a person of interest wanted in connection with a robbery caught on camera. The man was videotaped inside the Blue Cloud Pediatric Surgery Center in Merle's Inlet, seen dragging a fridge full of medications, then popping open the lock and getting away with all of the refrigerator's contents. Images of the suspect from above and behind can be seen on the Georgetown Sheriff's Department's Facebook page. Stay tuned for more Hot Talk News headlines on Hot Talk 99.5.
And if you check out our Hot Talk weather forecast, it's very nice today. Perfect springtime day. Sunny, breezy, and a high close to 80. Overnight, clear, low of 62. Tomorrow, a little bit warmer, much like today, but a little warmer. And then a dome of high pressure will keep building and building. And we're looking at record-setting high temperatures for both the coast, close to 90, and above 90s for inland by Friday and Saturday. So enjoy this pleasant morning. It is 63 in Cherry Grove and 62 in Myrtle Beach.
As a Massey Services technician, we have earned the trust of our customers. So much so, we're often called upon for a second opinion.
Could I interest you in the steak or lobster?
What would my Massey technician do?
That's a lot to chew on. But I do know that Massey's Pest Prevention is the right choice for preventing pests from getting inside your home. Plus, our service is guaranteed or your money back.
Massey Services, offering expert advice and much more. Expect more and get it.
It's spring in Surfside Beach, and that brings the Farmers Market, Arts and Crafts Market every Tuesday in Memorial Park from 10 to 3 with locally grown fruits, veggies, and unique artisan goods. Join the community yard sale April 18th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the Surfside Beach Kite Festival is a fun-filled day at Surfside Pier April 25th from noon to 3. Enjoy kite flying over the beach, live music, food trucks, sweet treats, face painting, bounce houses, foam zone, beach games, hula shows, and vendors. For more info, visit surfsidebeach.org or on Facebook. Surfside Beach, the family beach.
It's the Hot Talk Morning Show, on the air at 99.5 FM and streaming at WRNN.net.
Morning, it's 8:30 on the Hot Talk Morning Show with Joe Bro and Leanne Graham. After all of this serious discussion, I think we all need a good laugh, and we got it for you. Comedian Jeff Allen will be live this Friday, April 17th, at the Alabama Theater. The doors open at 6, the show's at 7, and we've got tickets for Caller 4 right now at 839-9950. 839-9950, going to the Alabama Theater Friday night for comedian Jeff Allen with Hot Talk 99.5.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. As Congress returns following their two-week recess, two members are leaving in scandal.
Congressman Eric Swalwell says that he's walking away from the job. The 45-year-old Democrat faces allegations of sexual misconduct, including from a former staffer. And another shakeup just hours after Swalwell's announcement, Republican Congressman Tony Gonzalez announced he's quitting Congress early. The third-term Republican lawmaker is accused of having a coercive sexual relationship with a staff member who later killed herself.
Fox's Alex Hogan, the U.S. Navy continues to block the Strait of Hormuz.
So far, no reports of any major incidents or confrontations out on the Persian Gulf.
Fox's Matt Finn in Dubai. Chinese-owned oil and chemical ships sailed through the blockade today. It was turned back yesterday. The military is not blocking the Persian Gulf, but it's stopping vessels from gaining access to or leaving Iranian ports. America's listening to Fox News.
Start your morning with everything you need to know on the Hot Talk Morning Show. Joe Katz and Leanne Graham break down the biggest stories from around the Grand Strand. Local news that hits home. And producer DJ Slide on the ones and twos. Trying to keep the whole thing from going off the rails. The Hot Talk Morning Show on Hot Talk 99.5. From the